We're going to go with story number six. Mr. Fackham, we're going to go to you. John Fackham, we'll go to you with story number six. It's coming out of the South Florida Business Journal. I'll read you the headline for a couple graphs. Then I want you to comment. Headline, Mercedes-Benz plants its first North American condo in Miami's Brickell area. Prices started about $550,000 a door. First couple graphs are JDS Development Group will partner with Mercedes-Benz AG to brand the condos in its 67-story mixed-use tower in Miami's Brickell neighborhood. By the way, anybody's interested, want to know where this is? It's basically off of 12th. It's a block west of the Metrorail tracks. So it's actually in West Brickell. Anybody knows East Brickell and West Brickell? A little bit of difference in pricing. But that being said, I'll go on with the story. This would be Mercedes' first North American condo project. According to the company, 791 units in the residential tower will be branded Mercedes-Benz Place. And the German automaker's design team, in collaboration with New York-based shop architects, refined the design of the building based on its sensual purity concept. And it goes on to say, and there's a quote here from Chief Design Officer for Mercedes-Benz. He says, this philosophy, based on the duality of emotion and intelligence, consists of a hot and cool pole. The cool aspect represents very much the tradition of geometric German long-lived design originated in the Bauhaus. This crucial part of our brand was the inspiration for the architecture of this extraordinary new Mercedes-Benz Place landmark in Miami. Mr. Fackham, why don't you give us your take? And I was wondering if you could like give us some kind of context about the hot and the cool pull that this designer from Mercedes-Benz is referring to.
I have no idea what that means, the hot and the cool pull. But I can tell you that, getting back to my earlier point.
You want to market it to your audience. So I figured you might be able to help us understand the audience what this German designer is referring to.
Not really sure exactly what that means, but I will say that, when you get into the highfalutin world of high-end real estate, such as in this case, obviously the developers are trying to separate themselves from each other. It's very competitive. So right now, the market for, according to the New York Times, is a recent story. The market for these luxury branded condos is growing by 12% a year. And that's through 2026. So apparently they've hit the mother load as far as being able to sell these luxury branded condos. Mostly they're aligning themselves with high fashion or auto brands. We've already seen Armani, Bentley, Fendi, Missoni, Porsche. So all these names are out there. They're designed to attract the high-end buyer who wants to align themselves with these fashion brands. You know, it's separating themselves from the pack, and that's the high-end pack.
So Mr. Beckler, if I could just throw it out there, you've been down in South Florida for quite some time. You came from New York in the 80s. You've been down here on the ground for 40 years, roughly. The location of this property is west of the Metrorail tracks. It's probably a four-block walk from Brickell Avenue, even though they're referring to it as the Brickell neighborhood. It's actually located next to a fire department. It's across the street from a rental tower. Catty corner would be a Chase Bank branch where you could drive your car through. It's a one-story facility. Next to that is a gas station. You have a nice Walgreens, which is one story, and you have a Publix. $550,000 for a unit. Okay, call it reasonable price. They don't say the square footage. But what I'm wondering is, does that reflect the Mercedes-Benz brand being across from a bank branch with a drive-through ATM? A gas station, a Walgreens that's open 24/7 so you can get booze or you can get cigarettes or you can get anything else, as well as a Publix. Is that Mercedes-Benz brand?
No, it's not, obviously. But the design concept, which was talked about in the story.
This is the south, the cool pole and the hot pole?
Exactly. Oh, yeah. It's sort of based on the Bauhaus, a German theory of architecture. So they're using that as a springboard, the actual design of the place. To attract the customers, it's not so much the location. So, again, they're trying to compete with each high-end luxury legacy brand. They're trying to outdo each other. And I think that's kind of more to do with this than location, obviously. It's not the greatest location as far as I'm concerned. I mean, certainly I wouldn't associate it with Mercedes-Benz, but, I'm more middle class, so I wouldn't really be able to judge that. But that's just my theory.
John, Oscar, am I wrong? Am I being too critical of this design? I mean, granted, you can knock down that gas station. You can remediate the dirt. You can put up another tower there. Whoa. You can knock down the Walgreens and put up a tower. You can knock down the Publix. The fire station you can't get rid of. There's a sushi place across the street. I think it's like $12 a dish. Am I being too critical for what Mercedes-Benz represents, or is there a little bit of a disconnect between what Mercedes-Benz is supposed to be and what this location is?
Well, personally, I think I should have been the Kia Tower.
Anybody who doesn't know, Kia is a brand out of South Korea that is value-oriented for value-oriented
buyers. First of all, it's
buyers.
A fantastic car, by the way. It's one of the best cars out there.
So, I know. That's why they should have a Kia Tower. It'd be a huge hit. I mean, it's just all marketing sizzle. I mean, exactly. You know, one of the big questions that I have is what happens in 20 years when the building is, you know, sort of gets dilapidated and run down? Is Mercedes-Benz going to stick around? You're not going to see that Mercedes-Benz marketing anywhere near that building. I mean, that is a finite thing to sell the units. I mean, what I would be really interested to see is in the condo documents, how long is the marketing agreement with Mercedes-Benz? How long is Mercedes-Benz going to allow its name to be used to sell these units? And I'm also curious, like, okay, well, what does Mercedes get out of it? I think that would be very interesting. I'd be very interested to know that. And, you know, ultimately, the building, once it's sold, I mean, can Mercedes walk away and decide that it shouldn't have its name on the top and they're just using the sizzle of Mercedes or Pagani or whatever, Bentley, Porsche, whatever. I mean, it's gotten ridiculous. I mean, every car, every luxury car has a building now. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Okay.
And we've been talking about this on the podcast for the last few years.
Can I have my say?
Yeah, but let me just ask her. Well, let me ask Mr. Fackler one question. Mr. Fackler, because it was your story and, you know, you have a German designer. You're of German descent. You proudly wear your Deutschland shirt.
There you go.
I don't know if you speak German or not, but isn't Volkswagen, isn't that supposed to be the people's car based on the location? Wouldn't Volkswagen have been more apropos rather than Mercedes-Benz, which is, you know, like some sort of distinguished luxury? Could you kind of give us your take on that before we go to Oscar?
You're actually right. I mean, it's more the people's car, the Volkswagens. But obviously, they're going for the sizzle. They're going for the high-end brand. And again, they're just trying to outdo each other, these different luxury legacy brands. So I think that's got more to do with anything.
Okay, Oscar, Mustafa, the floor is yours.
All right. So Miami Beach, Miami, are the cities of imagination. I mean, you had Morris Lapidus, who created the Fountain Blue and used his marketing skills to create such a unique product that it was, you know, the emblem of Miami Beach for many years. And to the point where now the Sofers have expanded it and created condos there. And what that tells you is that you can create a brand identity in any neighborhood if you incorporate interesting design, interesting brands, interesting ideas. Sunny Isles is another example. The Deser family created tower after tower, including Porsche Tower, right? That across the street from those incredible places, you know, these very high-end towers, is a Kentucky Fried Chicken, or at least it was until a few years ago. You know, the last
Don't
time
forget
I was
the Burger King.
Huh?
They have a Burger King and a Navarro discount.
Right. And there was a, I think there was a Wolfie's across the street also that's gone now. And I loved Wolfies, but that's not what's across the street on the ocean, you know? So it tells you the story of how people who come here want to live out their dreams. They want to have this fairy tale, this fantasy play out, even if it's just for a week, if they're vacationing here or if they're investing in a condominium that is put into, you know, like a hotel dynamic, like a condo hotel or whatever. I mean, the reality is that these people are creating opportunities that will last 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, a generation. That's a long time, you know. Morris Lapidus.
It's true, Oscar.
Yeah.
Well, Oscar, so just to clarify, you're talking about Sunny Isles and how there's a KFC across the street from a Trump Tower that's on the sand. So this particular Mercedes-Benz site is about six blocks from the bay. Are you saying because of global sea level rise, the water is going to extend to this Mercedes and then suddenly it'll get the kicker because it would be waterfront?
So what I'm saying is, that's
that
funny.
That is tongue in cheek.
Yes.
That
yes,
is tongue in cheek.
That's funny. Yeah. Yeah. You're going to get a letter from Mercedes-Benz probably. But the bottom line is that I think that what Miami real estate is about is dreams, making dreams out of places that you never imagined would be, you know, viable as luxury. You know, like the one hotel when it came to Miami Beach, I didn't know anything about that brand. But now everybody knows it.
Yeah.
Do you know the fine?
Mr. Fackler, do you know of a place called the One Hotel in Miami Beach?
No, I don't.
Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Musabai.
All right. So.
And so the audience knows we're having fun.
Yes.
We all know each other.
Yes.
We all
yes.
respect each other.
Yes.
This is just the banter. The
yes.
Back
but
and
One
forth.
Hotel is a luxury hotel and condominium, right? And I can tell you that it's a very busy location that people who have, you know, discretionary income are spending their money there, just like they're spending it at the Fontainebleau, just at the new Fontainebleau, just like they're spending it at these very high-end condominium destinations.
And if anybody doesn't know, One Hotel is located roughly about 24th or so in Collins.
That's right.
It has a common wall with the Roney Palace, which you might recognize, and Lafrick Group was the one that was involved with going ahead and converting it way back in the way.
And Faena,
way back in the day. So
Faena is another brand that before it came here, I wasn't familiar with, right? And
yeah, but Oscar, I don't know if Faena is a good example because we were supposed to have a whole district and Mr. Faena, who was known for wearing a white outfit and a white hat, he sold his mansion. He unloaded the dirt he had left. He hightailed it back to Argentina. And now there's a project going up, which would have been a latest phase of Faena. It's now called the Aman.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if Faena is a good example.
Well, what I'm suggesting to you is that there is the ability to create destinations through these brands and by spending a lot of money on places that maybe have lost their luster, and someone new comes in and says, I can redo all this. And I think that is where the opportunity lies and the future of Miami lies. And if we are the financial capital, they're not living in Hialeah. They're living on the beach. They're living in Brickell. Brickell is a very strong office market, as it turns out. Now, going back to that story, every market, every cycle has an end. And are we at that end? I don't know. We will find out as more product comes onto the market. But in terms of us becoming the financial capital, us having all these brands here, it's a sign that there is another level of investment on a regular basis, discretionary income on a level that we haven't had before, that is fueling this type of expansion. And people see that who have money, developers, et cetera, and they're like, well, if he can do it, I can do it, you know? And they jump on that and they try to replicate that. Now, which one is the last one when the music stops, right? Which chair is the last chair left? We don't know yet because we haven't gotten there yet. It's still continuing. There are lots of people want to come here. More people. This is why spring break is being dealt with the way it is because there's a lot of people here in Miami Beach. And it's a lot for the infrastructure that we have. So, Miami is going to continue to be a location that people look to because of our taxes, because of our weather, because of our, you know, because of all the amenities that have been created in the last decade. It's going to continue to be a destination that's going to draw more and more investment. So that's
point taken, Oscar. That there's a great pushback. I appreciate that.